You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Clement Maniatella Show. Thanks for being with us here on 702. It's always great to be in your company. I hope you had a great week, my friends, and I hope you're going to have a great weekend. I'm looking forward to the quarterfinal fixtures today at the World Cup. I'm rooting for Brazil and, of course, Morocco and maybe that other African national team, France. I'm rooting for that as well. Who are you rooting for? Which match are you most looking forward to? I'm really, really, really looking forward to the quarterfinals. 011-883-0702. That's how we kick off the Friday edition of the Clement Maniatella Show. If you want to send us a WhatsApp voice note here on the 702 open line, 072-702-1702. That's the number. Before 10 o'clock, just around 9:45, just before we wrap up the 702 open line, we do Gratitude Fridays. You know we do this every Friday, 15 minutes before we wrap up the open line. We dedicate some time to give you an opportunity to tell us what you're grateful for this week. Anything that happened that you want to share with us? Did you propose? Did he or she or they say yes? Did you give birth to a newborn? Did you get that job? Or maybe you're just grateful that, you know, you are feeling happy today? Eh? Are you grateful to be alive? What are you grateful for this week? What happened that you want to share with us?
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Dineo in Lenasia. Good morning. Hi, Dineo. Okay. Dino. I'm giving you a new name.
I called you actually about the World Cup, bro. But you know, you speak about sport, and that's very close to my heart. I work in the field.
Yeah.
There's 76 different codes of sport in the country. That's practice. 76.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the indigenous games, which the Keto and Marabaraba and all of that forms part of.
Yeah.
So we had recently in September, we had the indigenous games, National Indigenous Games Tournament took place in KZN.
Yeah.
Of course, Gauteng, we ended up quite low down. KZN is beating us and various other provinces. So sport is lovely. There's lots of different sports. We don't concentrate only on the big six, which is swimming,
athletics,
rugby, football, netball, soccer. You know, there's much more out there. You know, in South Africa, we hold the world champion in sheep shearing.
Yeah.
So there's a sheep shearing federation as well, and throughout the world, we hold number one in South Africa.
Yeah, I realized, Dino. I realized just last night, and as I was like going through research around these kind of games, that apparently at some point, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, we were rated among the top 5 underwater hockey players in the world.
Yes.
And I mean, that's quite incredible. And I keep on learning more about some of these games, some of these sporting activities that are they're not mainstream, but they look like fun. And unfortunately, because we don't talk about them a lot, they don't attract as much funding and they're not in the media. And I think that's why I'm saying this is an opportunity for us to just discuss these unconventional games because they are fun and we do good in most of them.
I think it's great that you give all, we call them the Cinderella codes of sport in South Africa.
Yeah.
I don't know why we use the term Cinderella.
Cinderella,
but,
yeah.
So we call them all the Cinderella codes, and I think it's good that you give the platform to all these Cinderella codes.
You wanted to talk about the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
who are you supporting?
I'm talking about Brazil. I'm qualifying. I'm backing Brazil 100%.
Yeah.
I don't back Morocco. I don't think they class themselves as an African country. I have serious reservations about the issues that they have with the Western Sahara.
Western Sahara,
how they
invaded
that particular part of the world.
Mm.
So I don't, and they, for many years, they didn't want to be part of the Organization of African Unity or the African Union.
Mm.
So they didn't want to be African for many years. They always classed themselves as an Arab country.
Yeah.
In fact, not go to the, when they just won the game, didn't say an African country. He said that this is the first time an Arab country has won, got into the quarterfinals. You know, so me, I don't classify Morocco as that. They want to be African only when they have to.
Yeah,
and so, that, no. Yeah.
Yeah, when they won just the other day and they made it to the quarterfinals, we actually had a brief chat about that, you know, are they even classifying themselves as an African country? And also, which is very interesting, Dino, let me let you go and then raise something to the listeners, which I think is, maybe it will start a discussion for us. Dino raises an important point now about Morocco and where they classify themselves. So when they want to, they will classify themselves as Africans, but they largely regard themselves as Arabs. I'm actually thinking now, because even when we were celebrating that this is for us, Africa, you know, sometimes we're so desperate to, in this context of sport, to be represented that we're like, Morocco, we don't care whether you classify as African or not, we're going to force you to. And I just thought of Tiger Woods, for instance. Remember, we had a conversation about Tiger Woods. When was it? I think last year or 2 years ago, we discussed his documentary. And part of the themes we discussed was that Tiger Woods doesn't identify, especially at the time, wasn't even identifying as black. No, he wasn't. And there were activists who were not happy about it. And I remember asking, do you force people to identify in a particular way because that's usually how it's done? Mom is, dad is black, mom is white, or whatever, or vice versa, then you are classified as, especially in America. America doesn't care if you are 1.1% black. You are black. But Tiger Woods, for the longest time, didn't classify as black. And people just felt, my goodness, what a missed opportunity. And I wonder what you think about that. Because I think the same applies here for Morocco. Because we believe in self-identification, right? I believe in allowing people to self-identify. And we must respect whatever decision they take. And in this case, when Morocco, and Dino raises some of the political issues there around Western Sahara and what's happening that side, do you consider those things before you support a particular team? I'm interested to hear your views on that. 011-883-0702. WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clements Manyatela
on 702.
It's 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. Let's take Abiot in False Loras. Abiot, good morning.
Big guy, how are you?
Hey, Tara.
Yes, Clement, I'm a little bit confused and concerned about we South Africans. We South Africans, we love to politicize. Everything must go to politics. Clement, I'll tell you something. Today, we don't have South African Football Association because of the politics. Our national team, all the developed, all the unders and the senior team, they are underperforming because of politics. Now, here we are today, we are looking at Morocco. Let Morocco will deal with its matters. We need to support Morocco. Whatever Morocco is doing there at Morocco is not wanting to be part of us. That is their own thing.
So we just force them to be, they are one of ours, whether they want to be one of ours or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but but also politics, Abiot, it's very difficult to separate politics from sports. Like, it really is. It's very tricky. I'm not suggesting it should be the case or it shouldn't. I'm just saying it's so complex because, I mean, look at how people reacted to Russian sporting organizations, right? After Russia invaded Ukraine. Yeah. And thank goodness in most instances, right, you've got coaches who speak their truth. So they will not sometimes identify or be sympathetic to the problematic actions that are taken by their governments. And they'll tell you, we're here to play sport, we respect human rights, etc., etc. And those are the teams that I actually do respect, other than teams that come and they actually support. In this case, let's say there's a Russian team there at the World Cup and then they support what Vladimir Putin is doing in Ukraine. And that's where then I think I would take a decision to distance myself from the team. But, I mean, if you've got a coach who says we're here to play sport, we respect human rights, and I think there's an Iranian coach who actually spoke about that recently, and I respect that kind.
Yeah, but Clement, we must also look at this perspective, Clement.
Mm.
At one stage, Sepp Blatter was saying the government doesn't want the interference of the government.
Mm.
That was when we were supposed to host the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah.
Because those people, they've seen that South Africans, they love politicizing. They've seen that. Clemens, today we are not performing to any except rugby, because we love politicizing, Clemens.
Yeah, and even with rugby, I mean, lately, have we been 100%? Have we been on form? It's been tricky. But Abiet, I get you. It's really, really quite tricky. Because it's sport and you want the players to just come and play, right? Why must we club them up with the decisions that the government they come from and the country they come from have taken? Because sometimes they may disagree. But what do you do? And someone says, Clement, we can't force people to be African. I was talking about Tiger Woods earlier, who classifies or just somehow describes himself as Cablinasian. Cablinasian, and that's a mixture of Caucasian, Black, and Asian. He doesn't want to be called Black American. And I'm saying it's fine. Why must you force someone? In America, you can have 1% of your blood black. You are black. But if someone, I believe in self-determination. If someone chooses, they want to be described as Cablinasian, that's fine. Yes, you may think it's a missed opportunity. I remember, if you look at watch his documentary, you see that he even had no black friends. I think the only friend he had was Michael Jordan and some of his colleagues, but really didn't have, you know. But we live in a racial society. Is it unfair to expect him to be a spokesperson for a specific racial group? Because the thing, when you're a sporting star, there's so much pressure that's put on you. In the case of Tiger Woods, I mean, he was playing at golf courses that have never been played, where black people have never played before, right? And we often put the pressure on people like Tiger Woods to say, as a sportsman, just help us bridge that racial divide and help us advance, you know, the successes of the black race, you know, whatever the case is. So we depend on them. That level of pressure sometimes can really be unfair. Your voice notes on 0727021702.
Hi Clement, Morocco, whether they like it or not, they are African. They are on the African continent. They will remain African. We can call them African Arabs, it's fine, but they are still African. They say they are not African, that is neither here nor there. They are on the continent. They will remain African.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got Arabs on the continent, don't we?
Hi, Clement. Hi, 702 listeners. About Morocco, as for me, I don't care if they are African or if they consider themselves Arabs or Asian or Europeans. All I care is a win for them is a win for the African continent, because I'm not an expert in football, but if Morocco wins, they will allow one more African team to be part of the World Cup tournament.
Yes.
That's what I had. I'm not sure about it, but maybe the listeners can enlighten us about it. Thank you, Dini from Pretoria.
Thank you for your WhatsApp. It's 27 after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
I'll go back to some of your calls in a short while. Someone has just sent us a picture from Klipspruit. Klipspruit West Extension 2. There's lots of damage there due to rain. So please be safe on the roads. It looked like there have been some areas of flooding, some incidences of flooding in some parts of Soweto. So please be careful this weekend. And do you have something happening this weekend, by the way? Do you have a wedding? Do you have a party, a picnic, dondoni happening? And are you worried about the weather? Because at this rate, it may just rain. And what do you do when you've got something planned and it looks like you're going to rain? So, Khumotso, you noticed something about your neighbor you were telling us this morning.
Yes. also just hearing you speak, I'm thinking it's a really bad week, hey?
Yeah.
It seems like everything has escalated to stage 6, including the weather, hey?
Yeah.
Because it's been pouring since yesterday afternoon. So my neighbor's getting married tomorrow. And yesterday they were lululating, you know, they were gathering with the family in this rain, in the load shedding, Clement.
Yeah.
And during all of that, she was really stressed, the bride that is. And in that moment of stress, her family, in attempt to encourage her, was like, you know what? All you need to do is utete iskiki or utete iskatulo, or that means you must carry your shoe on your back.
On your back.
Or you must
like the
pour,
way you'd carry a child.
The way you carry a child, everything tied around your back, or you must pour salt over the roof, or even put a shoe over the roof so that tomorrow
Wait,
does not rain.
What happens over the roof?
You must put a shoe or pour salt, but an elder must do that. I think an
imagine your grandmother doing that in the township.
Yeah, I mean, it does look suspicious.
That's very, like, why is that grandmother getting on top of the house and putting a shoe?
I mean, she doesn't get on top of the house. She kind of just pours it on the, and it's the uncle.
It's very suspicious.
Who is the one who's given this kind of position, you know?
Yeah.
And it's some superstitious ritual that is
also,
said
then
to
that
stop,
would
the,
stop
rain.
The rain.
Yes, and let me tell you this. I do think that sometimes it works because I've been at an event. I'm telling you, I've been at an event a couple of years ago and it was raining, and I'm telling you, the uncle of that house did that salt thing, and the rain just...
I've been in instances where my cousins would carry a shoe.
Yeah.
They would carry a shoe, and then for some reason it doesn't rain. But I mean, I'm like, that's coincidence. There's no way that superstition is real.
Oh, it's beliefs.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's find out from some of our listeners. And please, on Monday, give us feedback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I get it. They were
going
putting
to the
stuff
wedding
on
tomorrow.
The roof.
Yes. So.
I want to know if it's gonna if it doesn't rain tomorrow, then
you're
at least there's some credibility to that superstition. So, do you do that? Have you ever had an incident where it was gonna rain and you were worried about it raining heavily the next day or in the coming days, and you've got a wedding or some big event? What did you do to try and quote unquote stop the rain? Huh? I mean, some of these superstitions are really quite funny. Yeah? You put a broom on a tree. That's what other people do. Komotso says you can just like throw a shoe on top of the roof, and apparently an elder must do that. Yeah, from where I come from, if you see an elder doing that, that's going to raise a few questions. Apparently, some actually, they pour salt over the roof. Huh? Hi, guys. Do these things actually work? I'm going to take your calls after the headlines on 011-883-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
23 minutes before 10 o'clock. Yelang in Ferndale. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
Duana, how are you?
I'm great. Sharp, sharp.
Mm.
Clement, I just want to take you back to the Morocco discussion that we were having earlier.
Yes, yes.
Do you know these guys, they belong to the Middle East, they have a self-determination all of their own,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's time Africans understood that, and I think it's time we let them be themselves, and also they then should not have the ability to participate in what is African or chop and change when it suits them.
Yeah.
Let us as Africans give them the space to be whoever they want to be, because they've proven time and time again that they are not African.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's only so much a group of people can take. I think for me, it's just the fakery. You know, when does it suit you to be one thing and then to be another?
And I don't remember them actually saying, we are not, you know, Yelang. In fact, they've participated in AFCON, right, which is the Africa Cup of Nations. I mean, if they don't identify and they are not, why are they participating there? And that's the thing for me. Yelang in Ferndale, thanks for your contribution. Let's hear what Charles has to say on the same topic. Charles, hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Sharp, man. Go ahead.
Good. Sorry. 2 points. One, there's no crime in Morocco. In Morocco, saying we can be both. Why not? I mean, when the Scottish says they are Scottish at certain times and they're British at certain times, nobody blames them. That's how it's supposed to be. Geography can decide on where people belong. But at the same time, we can claim people if they belong to us. When Barack Obama became president of the United States, Africa claimed.
We did. Kenya was like, yeah.
One of our own.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. The coach of Morocco clearly, when interviewed on the press conference before the game of Spain, precisely said, I am not here to be a politician. We want to fly African flag. I, just like Senegal, Ghana, Cameroon, we are here to represent Africa.
Yeah.
That is on the online. We listen to it. We watch to it. Why do we want to remove them? They can be Moroccans. At the same time, the Arabs also can claim them.
Yeah. No, got you. Charles in Kensington. I hear you. Thank you so much, man.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
I've got to say, I'm really shocked at some of the things that people do to stop the rain. Apparently, in some parts of the Eastern Cape, people cook mud. Mud. How? And then, apparently, in some families, they tell the firstborn to run around the yard naked. Yo, Dimakatsa in Melrose, good morning.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, South Africa is a movie.
Clement, on my wedding day, my granny had una petiles taco for the whole weekend. She even slept with it to stop the rain, and it did work.
And it didn't rain?
It didn't rain, but surprisingly, when we went for the photo shoot at some other parts of Joburg, it was raining cats and dogs there. But when we went...
I mean, sometimes I will drive. I mean, last night I drove towards Centurion side, and there was some rain there. But where I was coming from, it wasn't raining. It works like that, Dimaka.
But I understand that. But on that day, it works. It does work.
Okay, Dimaka, it's in Melrose. Simon in Midrand, hi.
Hey, Clement, how's it?
Sharp, how's it?
Good, man. Listen, I want to talk about this rain thing, you know. It's actually right. I'm actually a last born at home. So normally there's things that a last born must do when there's an event or whatever, you know, to stop the rain. So I was home 2 weeks back for a funeral. It was raining almost throughout the week. So on Friday, my father said, you know what? You had a last born, you know what you need to do. I said, nope, I'm not doing this thing this time around. But no,
what thing, Simon? Did they expect you to get naked and run around the house?
You must be naked, face your backside up, you know. Yeah.
Hi, Simon.
Yeah. So
okay.
I said, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm too old for that.
Okay, and then what did they do?
No, don't worry, we've got plan B. They took a tripod and they put it by the gate. I'm telling you, the whole weekend, it didn't rain. So when I was leaving on Monday, I'm the guy, come on, we can move this pot now. The rain is probably, you know, is stuck somewhere. Please, just bring it back this way. But no, because you are leaving now, we want us to bring this rain. Go, there are still people remaining here. We don't want this rain. But it happened. It was a rainy weekend. It didn't rain at all.
Wow. And it's not coincidence. It's because of the teapot at the gate. Okay, Simon, thanks for sharing that. Your WhatsApps.
Clement, I actually experienced this live. My sister and I went to a friend's brother's wedding, and it was raining so hard in Limpopo, in Polokwane to be specific. And they said to my friend, who is the last born of that family, that she needs to put a shoe on her back. Like, they did the shoe, walk around with it, and the rain will stop. And guess what? The rain actually stopped. So I really don't know what informs this, but as people that experienced it for the first time, it was quite fascinating.
Hey, Clement, these things work. Until it's your time to have a wedding or an event, you'll do these things because you want to make sure that your things are successful. So, yeah, man, I've had the opportunity to put a shoe on top of the roof, and the next day it didn't rain. So, 100% I agree, it worked.
Hello, Brooklyn, how are you? On the part of the rain, please believe it, my brother. It does happen on the part of Africa that I come from. They will perform some rituals. You sit in that area, you will see that it's very, very heavy, like it's going to rain. But before you know it, poof, it's blown away. Trust me. Have a good day, guys.
Chineke. Yeah? I know. I'm really shocked. Is it a pay or a P in Cape Town?
Ipay.
Hi, Ipay. Good morning.
Morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm good.
Mm.
I'm a pretty girl from Limpopo, ne?
Hey.
And yes, we do cook scent, not necessarily the mat.
Oh, drop Limpopo thing, because get your Limpopo. Let us not read the riddle of Jew, Ipay.
We're now jump lining at the Daniel Taylor. I'm from Lebuakom. You know
Lebuakom,
right?
I know Lebuakom. So what? What do you cook?
We cook scent. You know scent.
Hey, with water. So you wait for water to. So you wait for water to boil, and then you put scent as if you're cooking pap.
We just mix water with scent at the same time, then we put it on the fire.
Yeah.
And then get to yeast, and then yes, it stops.
Yo, hi. Yo, I know. Okay, Ipay, thank you.
Clement, now I have seen the shoe thing work too many times. Going along, when someone up a pilis tago, that thing works. Okay, I have been to two weddings recently where I have seen it in full effect. The minute we drove out of the wedding area, it was pouring. And while we were at the wedding, it was sunshine and you couldn't even tell that there was rain happening anywhere else in the city. So I believe in Hope Pas Tlhako, especially when it comes to weddings.
But come on, guys. Until we're able to live in two parallel universes, where in one universe you do the ritual and in another you don't, and see what the result is, we will never know whether the rituals work or not. Just as we will never conclusively know that they don't. Schrodinger's rituals, I guess.
Hi, Clemmy. Regarding the rain rituals, I remember I got married in December, the weekend of the 15th or the 16th. You know, the popular long weekend. And we were worried about rain, and my aunts were telling me that, listen, also pick up handle embizen, like cook in an empty pot outside so that to stop the rain, or girwale pizza, like ndithwale enhloko lembiza. And I was gonna try it if it so happened, but luckily for us, it rained literally at 9 o'clock at night. It started to rain after we had done everything, after the wedding, after the festivities. Then it started raining at 9 o'clock in the evening, at which point no one really cares.
Wow. Yo, Floyd on Twitter says, Clement, I think what people are describing is witchcraft. Floyd, honestly, and maybe we should have a conversation one day about some of the rituals or practices Africans used to do that later, after colonization, we started demonizing those rituals. Because what you are describing to me, if I saw a family doing that, I'm going to think, these guys. Yeah? Jenny in Moretela Park, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, Jenny.
Okay, I was just telling your producer.
Yeah.
This Halloween that's just passed, my daughter-in-law was having a Halloween party.
Yeah.
And it had been raining all week.
Yeah.
So two guests that were invited to the party, now neither of them had ever met each other.
Mm.
And they both told her to take a knife, a kitchen knife, and stab it into the lawn, into the grass.
What?
I'm telling you, she did it, yeah. And there wasn't a drop of rain all evening.
You're kidding me.
I'm dead serious. I even had a photo of the knife stuck in the grass.
Is the knife still on the lawn, Jenny?
No, she took it out.
Did it pour after?
I was going to say, it's never stopped raining since she took the knife out.
Well, go stab it back. Wow. Jenny in Moretele Park, thank you for calling. Let's take a quick ad break. When we come back, I'm also going to play more of your WhatsApp voice notes around gratitudes. Remember, we do this every Friday before we wrap up the 702 open line. I want to know, what are you grateful for this week? What happened this week that you want to share with us? You can start calling or sending your WhatsApp voice notes about that as well.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
9 minutes before 10 o'clock. I'm receiving some of your WhatsApp voice notes. What we do before we wrap up the 702 open line every Friday, we take some of your WhatsApp voice notes on what you are grateful for this week.
Morning, Clement and team. I'm grateful today because my car is full paid. The bank, they deliver the papers to my doorstep. So I'm grateful. I'm done with the installment.
Ah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Congratulations to you.
Hello, Clement and the 702 lenders. I am so grateful today. And this is why. I live my life inside out. I've allowed myself to have rich inner experiences, and I let that radiate outside. The external factors now have very little effect on how I feel. I've trained myself to see good in everything. Actually, there's good everywhere around me, and miracles are everywhere. All I need to do is just to open my eyes. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good day, too. Let me read some of your tweets coming up. Hi, Clement. I went for a job interview today, and I'm happy to say... I went for a job interview this week, and I'm happy to say just yesterday I got a call back. And some of your other messages about the rituals to stop the rain. Rio on Twitter says, Clement, if true, could we please perform the same rituals to mitigate the extreme levels of load shedding? Yes, please. Yeah? I mean, if it's working with the rain, I'm sure it can work with load shedding. No?
Hi, Clement. I heard that, let's say I get married. My mother will attend a shoe. And then if it rains and then got the lightning, it's when you take a grove salt, you pour it up. That's what I had. It's Jacqueline.
Wows.
Yes, Clement, these things works. I remember even in Congo, they said the last born child have to sweep the yard with a broom, then the rain is not gonna fall. It's just a African belief. Thanks, bye.
That's fascinating. I think we should have a conversation one day about some of these rituals. Because for some reason, we've demonized them, right? We've demonized them. Is when we see people do them, we think they're primitive or that's witchcraft. Yeah? But before colonization, this is what our ancestors used to do. And it worked. Clearly, I mean, a lot of you are attesting to this. And they're probably, and I wonder how many other rituals we don't perform as Africans because we were told they are demonic and yeah, how dare you cook mud to stop the rain? That's witchcraft. Yeah? Allow nature to be nature. I wonder how many other rituals we are unable to do, right? That actually, back in the days, worked. And obviously, this is within reason. We mustn't think and run away with our imagination and think we can just do whatever. But things like this, where most of you are testing that it works, and it's not just superstitions, like how many more we're not able to do because of the history of this continent and the impact of colonialism on our culture, on our identity. And maybe that's a conversation we should have one of these days.
Hi, Clement. Everybody agreed that this thing works, that it's not a coincidence. Maybe you have to believe them. Maybe you and I have to believe them. Maybe when we see, then we will agree. But for now, we have to believe.
Yeah, because if it was...
Let's not have the doubt again.
Yeah, listen, I'm Thomas. Eh? I doubt until I see. But look, I accept that there are so many, there are too many of you that are attesting to this. So I suppose it's not a coincidence. I mean, all of you are calling from Cape Town, someone about what happens in Congo, in Nigeria, you know, all over even in the country where you are attesting to it. So I guess probably does happen.
Hi, Clement. I'm forever, ever grateful for my daughter, Naledi. She got accepted at high school, Elsberg. And for me to receive that certificate that confirms that she actually made it, I cried. As a father, I cried because I love her so much. She means everything to me. I would die for her. And she's such a hard worker, and she means heaven and earth to me. I'm actually like in tears right now. She made my week, and I'm forever grateful for that, one moment. Khotso from Don Park.
Oh, Khotso, I'm so happy for you, man. That's just incredible news, and it's so great to be a proud father, eh?
Morning, Clement and your listeners. I'm thankful for, I'd like to call it hybrid personality. Let me tell you why. I could be very depressed and stressed. But I would find myself smiling and chuckling and with a small giggle. You know why? My brain is telling me the funniest jokes that I could not resist. So I'm glad, man. I can make myself happy. Really, nothing depresses me, nothing. I'm very grateful for my hybrid personality. Webster, Johannesburg.